The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
We begin tonight with the fast-changing developments inside Iran.
More than 500 people are dead, and more than 10,000 have been arrested amid the government's crackdown on people who are taking to the streets and demanding regime change in the Islamic country.
Facing threats of arrest and even the death penalty, there's no sign these Iranians are backing down. And they're paying the price. This scene, appearing in multiple videos on social media, shows body bags lining the ground outside a medical center in southern Tehran.
The government trying to shut them down with a nationwide communications blackout, cutting off the internet, cell service, and phone lines.
What began as a response to soaring prices transformed into a demand to take down the government.
I think many protesters would be delighted to see Supreme Leader taken out, since he personally embodies the entirety of the Islamic Republic and what it's done to this country over the last 46, 7 years.
Protesters have ignited a fire for change, targeting symbols of the regime that represses them.
Are the protests different this time, and how likely is this to be the end of the regime?
There is a kind of consensus emerging among protesters. What they're asking for this time around is the end of the Islamic Republic as a system, not some reform of it, not greater freedoms within it, but the overhaul of it. I think domestically, if you look purely domestically, it's certainly a crisis for the regime. But the tricky part is the regime has faced similar crises before. And unfortunately, the way it's faced them down has been with ever increasing violence.
President Trump promising to come to the rescue if protesters are killed.
I've made the statement very strongly that if they start killing people like they have in the past, we will get involved. We'll be hitting them very hard where it hurts.
I tell the Iranian leaders, you better not start shooting because we'll start shooting too.
Trump clarifying his threat does not mean U.S. boots on the ground. This morning, Iran responding to those threats, warning that if the U.S. were to strike, the U.S. and Israel would be legitimate targets of the Islamic Republic.
The threats against the U.S. and Israel were made during a parliament session as Iranian lawmakers shouted, quote, death to America.
And we're learning from an Israeli official that Prime Minister Netanyahu spoke with Secretary of State Marco Rubio this weekend about what's happening in Iran. And remember, Gio, it was just a couple of weeks ago when Trump met with Netanyahu at Mar-a-Lago, where Trump promised that the U.S. would back Israeli strikes on Iran if Iran continues with its nuclear program.
A world in turmoil. I mean, you see one crisis after another. If you just step back and look at the bigger picture here, I think with respect to Iran, it was Melanie Phillips. We'll quote from her in a moment. But she talks about this seismic uprising. I mean, the earth, it's one jolt right after another. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on this good Monday morning, or maybe Monday afternoon or evening, depending upon where you are and when you listen to the show. You can get to the live show, of course, at our website, thetrumpet.com, or at our Rumble channel, rumble.com/trumpetdaily. I want to get to Iran. We'll spend a lot of time on that today. But first, just as I say, to step back and look at this world in flux. I mean, look at all that's been happening the last few weeks. The start of the calendar year, 2026. It hasn't been pretty. And we're just a few days into it. We're coming up on the 40th anniversary of Herbert Armstrong's death as well. That's Friday. 40 years. You wonder if so many of these earth-shaking events are building towards something even more momentous in the days ahead. But to think on the big picture for a moment, Herbert Armstrong, he wrote this back many years ago. We are now rapidly approaching the time of the world's greatest crisis, when this whole man-made civilization, and that's what it is of man, of course, under the influence and sway of Satan the devil, the god of this world. It's in your Bible. 2 Corinthians 4:4 and Revelation 12:9. You've heard it so many times on this program. Perilous times. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1. Dangerous times. That's what we're coming into. And as Mr. Armstrong said in this coworker letter, we're drawing near to the greatest crisis of all. Great tribulation. Jesus said that in Matthew 24. It says when, this is back to that coworker letter, this whole man-made civilization will crumble and fall, and a new world of peace and eternal salvation will dawn at Christ's soon coming in power and glory. A new world is coming. Peace is about to break out. But only Jesus Christ, only the family of God, can bring peace to this war-torn world. Listen to this from, I think it's Senator Mark Warner on Fox News Sunday, clip two.
In less than a year, President Trump has used American military to attack Syria, Iraq, Iran, Yemen, Nigeria, Venezuela. We've got 20% of our fleet off the coast of Venezuela maintaining a blockade. And our military did remarkable in Venezuela. He's now threatening Colombia, Greenland, and other nations. The last time we intervened in Iran in a major way was 1953 when the CIA overthrew the Iranian regime to protect Iranian oil for the West. Many historians would argue that led to the Ayatollah. I think we can put outside pressure. I think rallying the rest of the world, but taking a Connecticut strike, unless there is a plan on what next. And I'll remind your viewers, you know, we've got 20% of our fleet right now off the coast of Venezuela blockading that country. The USS Ford, which is one of our lead carriers, is supposed to be deployed to the Middle East. It's now deployed off the coast of Venezuela. And the president has said, we're going to take Venezuelan oil. It will take 2 years to rebuild the Venezuelan oil infrastructure. Is our fleet going to stay there for 2 years? Even as good as our military is, it's going to get stretched.
No, he's a Democrat, and so he's coming at this as an attack on Trump. Anything that Trump does is wrong. I mean, you look at the show of strength with what happened in Venezuela a couple weeks ago. I mean, he is doing some things that few presidents are willing to do. But just the larger point for a moment here, I mean, that we're being overtaken by curses, problems, crises. And they're not going to let up. There's so many, the problems that the United States is having to deal with at home and abroad. I mean, if you look at it as far as the foreign policy goes, I mean, we've pointed out the peace derangement flaw, huge flaw. But at the same time, and a lot, you look at Greenland or whatever it is, I mean, in some ways, President Trump looks unstoppable. You have nations scrambling, arming themselves for war. But just to step back and look at this world that is on fire, and then think about the Olivet prophecy. Think about what Jesus said would transpire right before he returns to this earth. It's all there in the Holy Bible. I mean, students of Bible prophecy should be jumping up and down right now. It's happening so fast. This is from the Free Press. This year is off to a tumultuous start. Just over a week ago, Donald Trump woke everyone from their holiday slumber with a dramatic raid to capture Venezuelan dictator Nicolas Maduro, who now sits in a cell in New York City. In recent days, protests in Tehran, that began 2 weeks ago, have escalated considerably and been met with a brutal response from the Ayatollah's regime. Iranian authorities have shut down the internet and opened fire on their own people. More than 2,000 protesters have reportedly been killed in the last 3 days. 2,000? And then you have the manufactured protests against ICE, these paid actors, basically. So obvious. With the supplies and, you know, the way they try to make it look bigger than it is. insurrectionists that just want to stir up strife here at home. Anything to make President Trump look bad. I mean, do you think the average American is against ICE going in and removing a murderer from our neighborhoods? Of course not. Law and order. And look at the fighting that there is just to prevent that from happening. Meanwhile, it says Russia has stepped up its strikes on Ukraine, bombarding Kyiv apartment buildings and firing new hypersonic missile deep into Western Ukraine. That was just last week. And then it says, what's not clear, though, is how consequential all this may prove to be. Will Maduro's ouster prove to be the end of that regime or just a changing of the guard? Could the Ayatollah's time really be up? And what, if anything, will end the war in Ukraine? Will the world become a better place after all of these crises die down? Or is it going to be more of the same? Or is it going to worse? Will it intensify? This was President Trump over the weekend on Air Force One, clip 5.
We don't take Greenland, Russia or China will. And I'm not letting that happen. If we don't take Greenland, Russia or China will take Greenland. And I am not going to let that happen.
Is there a deal they can offer you? They're like,
yeah, sure. I'd love to make a deal with them. It's easier. But one way or the other, we're going to have Greenland.
Are you okay if that compromises NATO? If NATO effectively ceases to exist?
I've done a great job. I'm the one that saved NATO. I'm the one that got him to pay 5% of GDP. Wait a minute. It was 2%, and they didn't pay. Now they're paying 5%. I'm the one that saved NATO. You wouldn't have NATO if I weren't president.
Would you pull the U.S. out of NATO? Would you consider doing that?
Well, maybe NATO would be upset. If I did it, maybe NATO would save a lot of money. I like NATO. I just wonder whether or not if we needed NATO, would they be there for us? I'm not sure they would. You know, we spend a lot of money on NATO, and I'm not sure they would. And Greenland, basically, their defense is 2 dog sleds. Do you know that? You know what their defense is? 2 dog sleds. In the meantime, you have Russian destroyers and submarines and China destroyers and submarines all over the place. We're not going to let that happen.
In the meantime, are you going to...
And if it affects NATO, then it affects NATO. But, you know, they need us much more than we need them. I will tell you that right now.
The UK and Germany are discussing plans for a joint NATO mission to protect Arctic security in Greenland. Does that change your calculus at all?
No, look, we're talking about acquiring, not leasing, not having it short term. We're talking about acquiring.
Does that require...
And if we don't do it, Russia or China will, and that's not going to happen when I'm president.
So, as we've noted so many times on this program, you see how often when we're talking about peace and prosperity and the golden age, then every once in a while you also get, you know, the real world. If we don't take Greenland, Russia or China will. Well, what about the plans that Germany and the UK have? Now, that doesn't change any. I mean, he's sounding like he's going to take Greenland. But notice what he said there about NATO. On the one hand, we saved NATO. On the other hand, we can't trust NATO. And so, George Friedman makes a good point on the Greenland discussion, saying that if the U.S. takes it, I mean, that's essentially the end of NATO. And even the reporters there on Air Force One kind of tap danced around that. These are earth-shaking developments. That's the point. In the last days, perilous times shall come. So again, I mean, it's nice to see some strength. But what does the Bible say about America's strength in the end? It's going to be spent in vain. It's going to be spent in vain. I mean, there is a temporary resurgence, as we keep saying. There will be a temporary suspension of that bitter affliction, and it was bitter. But it's not going to end well for the United States. I played that clip for you, or actually it was from the New York Times article last week. President Trump saying that will always get along with Europe. I mean, what he said right there is he doesn't know if we are going to get along with Europe. He doesn't know if we can trust NATO. Would they be for us? He was asked after he just said, I saved it. Then he's asked, well, I'm not so sure they're going to be there for us. I'm not so sure we can trust NATO. And then you've got all the other NATO members saying, I'm not so sure we can trust the United States. How does this end? I mean, these are major world powers we're talking about. And oh, by the way, Germany, that's right, is building a military machine, a new one, a new German military machine. There you go. And you've got China and Russia on the march. Perhaps regime change in Iran? A seismic shift. A seismic uprising. A world in turmoil. I mean, speaking of the Middle East, just look at all that's happened thus far. That fulfills Bible prophecy. The fact that Syria and Lebanon have broken free from Iran's influence. We know from Psalm 83 that it's going to be a different alliance. Iran, they're going to lose Syria. They're going to lose Lebanon. And how significant is it? Just this year, last year, that Hezbollah has basically been neutered. Same with Hamas, though not destroyed. Israel didn't quite finish the job there. Thanks to Uncle Sam, but we'll leave that aside. Mr. Hilliker, he does a good job of giving the big picture. All of these seismic shifts and events. This is in the Morning Brief. It's killed reportedly 500 protesters. There's others that are saying it's 2,000. They've blacked out the communications. So who knows what's going on? Will the regime fall? The mob's anger is fierce, Mr. Hilliker writes, but in every prior uprising, the regime's brutality has been fiercer. The last couple of years have weakened Iran. One by one, it has lost its influence in Gaza, in Lebanon, and in Syria. Yet all these developments were prophesied in the Bible. They were prophesied to lose the support from Gaza, from Syria, from Lebanon. It says, and those prophecies actually foretell that Iran will build different alliances. That's right. That's where Egypt, Libya, and all those other nations come into play. I mean, everything is aligning perfectly with Bible prophecy. The sure word of Bible prophecy. Prophecies that have been in the Bible for thousands of years. Now is the time to be as excited about our Bible study as ever before. I mean, just some of the basics that we've been covering in the fundamentals of theology class here at God's College. It's mind-blowing in many ways to just see the accuracy of God's forecast. What he said on any, pick any given subject, even when it's Christian living. He gives us the truth. And the fact is, the world doesn't like the truth. They don't want the truth. There's been resistance against God and his work from the very beginning. I mean, they said Jesus Christ had a demon. Jesus Christ, he was the Son of God. And how did the religious elites of his day receive him? Well, they said he was possessed. They said he had a demon. They said the same thing about John the Baptist. John the Baptist was beheaded. Jesus Christ was crucified. The Apostle Peter, the Apostle Paul. I mean, you go right down the line. Satan hates God's church because he hates God's truth. So he tries to blot it out. And he's had a fair bit of success in doing that. Look at what passes for religion today. I played the montage for you on Friday. I mean, you heard from President Trump saying that his own morality, his own mind, is the only thing that restrains him. And he happens to be the same leader, the same president who has said, I don't really need forgiveness. I don't need to really worry about repentance. You look into the Bible, If you're humble and childlike, you look into the Bible and see what it says about human nature, about how it's opposed to God, it's deceitful, it's wicked, and how that's what we need to repent of with God's help. It says here, this is Mr. Hilliker's article, Venezuela was a crucial Iranian partner, and America deposing Maduro is an economic and strategic upset for Iran. That impressive operation may have also made the Ayatollah nervous. President Trump says the Iranians called to negotiate. Iran's foreign minister in Iran said Iran remains prepared for war, but is prepared to negotiate with Trump based on mutual respect and interests. This is a development that the Trumpet, of course, is watching closely. It says the prophecies of Iran's radical and belligerent role in end-time events are clear. We will not see a moderate, Western-friendly state emerge from this unrest, nor a fundamental restructuring of Middle Eastern power with a regime change in Tehran. I mean, they may get a new leader, but we're not going to see them suddenly become a Western-style democracy in love with the United States. It's not going to happen. We know how they factor in to Bible prophecy. Read Daniel 11 sometime, the last few verses in particular. See what it says about the King of the South. We've got an entire booklet that goes by that name. The King, it pushes and pushes and pushes. It pushes at Europe, keep in mind, Germany. The German-led Holy Roman Empire. I mean, this may be pushing Iran to do something really pushy, this uprising. Like I said, who knows what's going to happen in the lead up to January 16? 40 years, God's servant came in the spirit and power of Elijah, just as prophesied in Malachi 4, Matthew 17. That's pretty significant. 40 years on from the death of Herbert W. Armstrong, he's featured on both of our most recent magazines. Right here, you've got the Trumpet magazine, and then you've got Royal Vision as well. Yes, indeed, a voice of truth, the legacy of Herbert W. Armstrong. And then here, remembering Herbert Armstrong, God's partnership with his end-time Elijah. He was a father-like figure. He was a servant of God. He sacrificed for God and his work. He did it for decades. He spoke with boldness. He spoke with courage. We are headed, as he said in that coworker letter from many years ago, we are headed for the time of the world's greatest crisis. We've got to tell you the news. That's prophesied to happen just ahead of the good news of the establishment of God's kingdom on this earth. Listen to this exchange on CBN recently, clip 12.
I think we have to be careful to think that if the Ayatollah, the supreme leader, goes, that necessarily means that Iran is free. Okay, let's remember all the years we prayed that Fidel Castro would leave or die. Yeah, well, that happened. He died, but then his evil brother took over, and Cuba is not free. Let's keep the full picture in view, that just because one man leaves or one family leaves or even the inner circle leaves, there's a lot of other wicked people at the top that could run Iran in a horrible way for a long time. So there's a lot of elements at play here.
Indeed, as Mr. Hilliker says in the morning brief, perhaps another firebrand will grab the baton of the Islamic revolution and race toward its blazing conclusion. It says the outcome of this rebellion within this consequential nation is truly worth watching closely. I mean, we're already seeing so many prophecies just come to life. As I said, in Syria, in Lebanon, in Gaza. But that said, I mean, it does look like a seismic uprising from what we can see. Melanie Phillips says here, as the Iranian uprising continues to escalate, it's been reported that hundreds of protesters have been killed by the regime's security forces. She covers some of the basic facts again, the power being cut off and so on. If the regime does fall, this will be a seismic event reshaping the region and world politics. The insurrection might be the most consequential global event so far this century. Yet from Western liberals, there's been little more than pursed lips. She's right about that. Deutsche Welle says the Iranian state shut down access to the internet and international calls last Thursday. On Monday, the shutdown reached the 84-hour mark, according to internet access monitor NetBlocks. So as many as 2,000 have been killed. Who knows how many thousands and thousands detained by the security forces? Play this from Fox News, clip 7.
Most of our global politics and all of our Middle East politics have been defined by the bad actors in Iran since 1979. And what is interesting about it is that Barack Obama, his whole new worldview was to hand control of the Middle East over to the mullahs of Iran, and it has emboldened them. And you probably added another 15 years to their reign because of that. And now we're seeing this, and it looks like it really did. There's something really does feel very different. And obviously, as we reported yesterday, much of it is based on economics and the collapse of the Iranian economy, which is driving so much.
And again, there's others that say, no, actually what the protests signal is that they're dissatisfied with the radical, you know, Islamist regime. This is from Deutsche Welle. What started out as localized economic protest has expanded to incorporate a litany of anti-government complaints. Here are the main complaints or causes, according to Deutsche Welle. The Iranian rial's value has collapsed, now trading at $1.4 million to $1. Prices have increased. Well, most of it's attributed to, you know, the struggling economy. And they've taken some hits. They were a strong ally of Venezuela. Now, they used to have Syria in their orbit, and Lebanon, and Gaza. And, of course, I haven't even really touched on the attack on the nuclear facilities just last summer. We had an article, by the way, right as that had happened or after that had happened. Again, it was a limited strike. That's the way President Trump wanted it. But the August 2025 Trumpet article, is Iran's regime finished? Here again, you get the big picture, and it's based on Bible prophecy. And that's the only view that matters. There's some details that we don't know just yet. But the framework is there. And when you see what's already happened with Syria, Lebanon, and Gaza, as I say, Daniel 11 is taking shape for sure. Melanie Phillips says, the reason is that the uprising is not just against the regime, but against the repressive tyranny of Islam itself. So she's of the opinion that, you know, religion factors in. But as Mr. Hilliker says in the morning brief, don't delude yourself into believing that if one leader is removed, somehow, some way, the whole of Iran is going to be, you know, Scandinavia or something. That's not what's going to happen. Mr. Hilliker wrote back in that August Trumpet, the notion of Khomeini's deposition or death will bring about that it will bring about a moderate, West-friendly government in Tehran, as though the regime represents a mere fringe ideology, is wishful thinking. Wishful thinking to believe that. Deutsche Welle. The counter-protest came from President Massoud, called on government supporters to join the National Resistance March. Well, it just gives you some more details. And then you've got, you know, Al Jazeera and places like that saying that, you know, really what's motivating the protests is their hatred for America and Israel. So there you go. Listen to this, though, from the Iranian parliament speaker just recently, clip 6.
And I have a message to the delusional American president.
be careful that the advice being given to you about attacking Iran is not of the same kind as the consultations through which you claimed that Mashhad had fallen. Therefore, in order to avoid miscalculations, be aware that if you take action to attack Iran, both the occupied territories and all U.S. military centers, bases, and ships in the region will be considered legitimate targets by us. Moreover, giving you explicit admissions regarding your intention to carry out military aggression against Iran within the framework of legitimate self-defense, we do not consider ourselves limited to reacting only after an attack occurs, and we will act based on concrete indications of threat. It was necessary to say this to you and to all your allies in the region so that you do not make a miscalculation, because regret will be of no benefit.
Death to America. Yeah, our news gatherers were pointing out just how bizarro all of this is, where you've got them in parliament, the leaders of Iran, you know, screaming, shouting death to America, threatening America. And then you've got the boring European parliament, where it puts you to sleep pretty much. And yet when you look at, again, the framework of Bible prophecy, it's actually Europe that's going to come against the United States militarily. Europe is going to take the initiative. Well, with the King of the South as well. There are big changes coming for Europe. Just think about a time when European Parliament finally throws off the camouflage and says, yeah, actually, we hate America. Death to America. But as it is right now, you've got the United States, the Jeroboam administration is, I mean, they're breathing fire at Europe. And then we'll talk about, well, we want to try to negotiate with Iran or Hamas. What a world. I mean, this is a world in turmoil. One crisis right after another, and pretty soon we're going to be buried under them. Right now, I mean, yeah, the United States has had some success here and there. A show of strength. A look of being invincible. But there's a lot, I mean, that sentiment that you see right there in the Iranian parliament, it's that way in many countries all over the world. It's not as out there and open with their hatred, their contempt for America. This was President Trump again on Air Force One, clip 3.
Sir, on Iran, have they crossed your red line yet to trigger a response?
They're starting to, it looks like, and there seem to be some people killed that aren't supposed to be killed. These are violent, if you call them leaders, I don't know if they're leaders or just they rule through violence. But we're looking at it very seriously. The military is looking at it, and we're looking at some very strong options. We'll make a determination.
But you know, we're also trying to negotiate. They want to negotiate. They picked up the phone as soon as, that operation last summer. And then after Venezuela. I mean, it's true that it's very different from Obama. And speaking of January 16, I mean, that's 10 years ago this Friday, if you can believe it. The JCPOA and Obama wanted to empower the mullahs. He wanted to empower the Ayatollah. I mean, that you remember the last uprising, or at least the one significant one back in 2009, when Obama wouldn't back it. He would not side with the protesters against the regime, because he was empowering the regime. And to be sure, he wanted Iran to take control of the Middle East. He wanted them to have nuclear weapons. That's an article from back then, evidently. One more from President Trump, clip 4.
Iran said that they would consider military and commercial bases as legitimate targets if you struck. Are you concerned about...
We'll consider things targets they wouldn't believe. If they do that, we will hit them at levels that they've never been hit before. They won't even believe it. I have options that are so strong. So, I mean, if they did that, it'll be met with a very, very powerful force.
Don't you think so?
CNN, don't you think so? Wouldn't you say that they probably do at this point? After going through it for years with me, being hit, Soleimani, al-Baghdadi, the Iran nuclear threat wiped out, don't you think, and then you just had Venezuela, don't you think, she says, CNN, do you think they take your threat seriously? Wouldn't you say they do after all of the things we've done? What a stupid question.
Yeah, that made him upset there. Do you think they take your threats seriously? And he's offended by that. I mean, if there's one thing this president is, he is unpredictable for sure. The operation to snatch Maduro, no one saw that coming. But there have been times where it's just been talk, where it's just been threats. And the one thing you can't really get a handle on is, you know, which ones he'll follow through on and which ones he won't. Here again, the operation last summer, that was a surprise strike as well, led by America. But it was so quick, just in and out, and then that's it, it's over, everything's solved, taken care of, the nukes have been obliterated. That was just a few months ago, 6-7 months ago, that's it. And now look, here what's happening in the Middle East. I mean, the things are, you can't hardly keep track. Makes your head spin, just to put it all in prophetic focus here. This is from that August 2025 article where Mr. Hilliker refers to the prophecy in Daniel 11, a prophecy we've pointed to for over three decades. I mean, you go right back to the early 1990s, and we were preparing you for this. It says here, the King of the South, or our booklet we first produced it in 1996, before Iran had any real power beyond the nation, Daniel 11, verses 40 to 43, clarified and amplified by other prophetic passages, indicate that Iran will be a formidable power, leading a confederation of nations. Its role as this end-time king of the South informs us how we can expect recent dramatic events to unfold. It says, for years, the Islamic Republic has increasingly showed itself able to fill this prophesied role. The Islamofascist regime of Khomeini, with its fanatical ambition to spread its radicalism, its recruitment of proxies, its projection of power into other nations, its pursuit of weapons of mass destruction, its pushy belligerence, all fit the prophetic descriptions ideally. I mean, it even says it pushes there in Isaiah, or rather Daniel 11 in verse 40. And as I said, the trumpet has been way ahead of the commentary on all of these developments. I mean, how could you have foreseen, you know, Syria breaking away or Lebanon or whatever it is? So many of these details. My father gave a Key of David program in 2021. The missing dimension in Afghanistan, he called it, clip 8.
Then the King of the South is Iran and their allies, including Afghanistan and all of the terrorists. Now, why is this so important? Well, because Germany and the Holy Roman Empire are going to destroy the King of the South and his allies and the Taliban in Afghanistan. Now, that could happen in this year or the next. Things are moving very fast, and Germany will strike as it is pushed by Iran and the terrorists, because Germany has a major interest in the Middle East. But this is the trigger to World War III. It will, from that, you will see the flow of the beginning, the real beginning of World War III. started by Germany once again. For the third time, they're starting a world war. Now, where is America? Well, they're too weak to even be involved in this. I'm telling you, what happened in Afghanistan is a momentous event that we need to understand. It is an insight, or it is tied directly to World War III. And what is the conclusion to World War III? The second coming of Jesus Christ to this earth.
That's my father from 2021. And here again, it's hard to believe that the pullout of Afghanistan was just, four and a half years ago. All of these earth-shaking events. I mean, the whole world saw this shameful, embarrassing retreat, surrender, actually, from the United States. And as he alludes to there, Daniel 11, I mean, the other big part of that story is just the fact that America goes missing. America is not even mentioned in all of the conflict, because by that point, we're too weak, we're too sick. You see it heading in that direction. I mean, as for Iran, whatever happens in this latest round, this turmoil, they're going to stay radical. They're going to stay Islamic. They're going to be a belligerent force, projecting its power beyond its borders. The Bible prophesies of this. In Mr. Hilliker's piece, he says, for 46 years now, since the Islamic Revolution, Iran has been living in a fever dream of repression, ideological extremism, and violence. Is it about to wake up? Is the octogenarian supreme leadership about to end? Is Iran about to return to the era of the Shah, its pre-revolution, pro-Western glory days? It's pleasant to imagine, but don't count on it. Don't count on it to be de-radicalized. It's been radical for decades. And you heard the chants right there in Parliament. I mean, that wasn't the Ayatollah. Mr. Hilliker says, it is unclear exactly how this situation will play out. Often events take turns very different from what we expect. But biblical prophecy is clear about the outcome. As impressive as Israel's accomplishments have been, he's writing this following the strike, you know, coming from Israel and the U.S. on the nuke facilities. As impressive as all that was, and as much as one may wish to see the demise of this violent, oppressive regime, somehow Iran is going to preserve its considerable power, as well as its extremist temperament and aspirations. That's the big picture. That's the big picture. I mean, you look at what it has withstood a lot of setbacks with Hezbollah, with Hamas, with Syria, with the strike last summer from Bibi, from President Trump. And now evidently losing Venezuela. Somehow, though, it's going to survive. And somehow it's going to remain radical and Islamic. My father gave another program back in 2016. This would have been, you know, right after it was announced on January 16th, 10 years ago. The JCPOA and Obama basically clearing the road so that Iran could race to get a nuclear weapon. This was from my father's show 10 years ago, clip 9.
Another quote from Dory Gold, who wrote, who was Israel's UN ambassador from 1997 through 1999. And he says, the idea that somehow Israel could live with a nuclear Iran is problematic as a possible line of policy. It presupposes that a nuclear Iran can be deterred just like the Soviet Union during the Cold War. Radical Shiite associations in Iran believe in the imminent return of an Islamic savior known as the 12th Imam. are Mahdi, literally the rightly guided. Adherents to these associations moreover believe that the Mahdi's arrival can be accelerated by man through apocalyptic chaos and violence. In other words, the more nuclear violence and any kind of violence you have, it's going to hasten the return of their 12th Imam. That's what they believe. And they have suicide bombers that illustrate that all the time. They'll die for that. And they'll certainly commit nuclear arms to trigger World War III. They are going to do that. And that's what Daniel 11 and verse 40 is all about. They trigger it, and then the King of the North is going to start World War III as a result of that, or following that anyhow.
Before that show, that was 2016, he had another one from March of 2011. Just to, again, help you appreciate the fact that this is something we've been talking about for decades. Here he is talking in 2011 about one final massive push coming from Iran. This is clip 10.
But there's going to be one final big push by Iran. They just keep pushing and pushing and pushing, and they're going to make one big final push, and they're going to be then attacked by Europe and overwhelmed and conquered. Now, that's right there in your Bible, and it's right there in those verses that I've been talking about in Daniel 11 for years and years and years, and all of it is coming to pass today before your eyes. God lives. God rules wherever he wants to rule, and his message goes out through that open door because he wants people to be warned. He wants them to have a witness of what they could have done if they don't repent.
God lives. The God who prophesied of all these events, he is alive, alive and well. The sure word of Bible prophecy. That's the way the Apostle Peter put it. I mean, these servants of God, as I mentioned earlier, they sacrificed, in many cases, their lives, their physical lives, to preach the truth. One massive push, and it triggers World War III. We can't just observe all of these perilous events and then go to sleep, can we? I mean, look at the interest level in what's happening in Germany. Zero. You've got other things that, I mean, they are big headlines. Venezuela, Greenland, you know, now Iran, Gaza, Israel. And in the midst of all this, you've got the new German war machine. The world's arming for war. It's becoming an armed camp. There's nuclear weapons by the thousands all over the earth. Just to finish off with that August Trumpet article, is Iran's regime finished? It says, we must see God's hand in these events as they unfold and use that as motivation to turn to him. He's alive and active today, just like my father was saying in that clip. God is alive. God is active. I mean, it's true. It's the devil's world. Satan is the god of this world. But he knows his time is short. Revelation 12 says this. So he's behind all this. And God's allowing it. And God's giving us a heads up as well. And he's telling us what's coming. Mr. Armstrong, I emphasized this in class on Friday. I think I have the quote actually later in my notes. But he talked about the cause of all the problems on earth today. And he just stated it simply. If I can find it, I want to give you the direct quote. All the evils and troubles in the world are caused by minds, clashing with minds. He says, but what is the real cause of clashing of minds? What's behind it? Of course, there's a spirit behind this clash. This is all laid out in chapter 2 of Mystery of the Ages, the mystery of angels and evil spirits. It says here, is there any connection between contentious attitudes and the unseen spirit world? If people had any idea, if they had any idea or knowledge of just how active the devil is in his broadcast. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. He really does affect our attitudes, our thinking, our reasoning. He bombards the air with his broadcast. And that's why there are so many clashes. There's just one clash after another after another. 2 Timothy 3, let me just read a few of these verses. This is chapter 3, where it talks about the perilous times, where it talks about how dangerous it's going to be in these last days. Paul says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Do you see any of this in the world today? It's everywhere. It's all over the place. Verse 3 says, "Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." I mean, we just love pleasure. We're just addicted to pleasure, to sports, to entertainment. There's so many things to just get buried in. No wonder. We've played the clips from Herbert Armstrong where he talks about, you know, the trap that's going to come upon us suddenly. And people are going to be caught sleeping, totally unprepared for what's ahead, for what's coming. Even God's own people, the Laodiceans, fast asleep, slumbering away. Read that parable in Matthew 25 sometime. God wants us to be ready. He wants our lamps to be burning brightly, filled with oil, with power, and strength, and energy, spiritually speaking. And of course, all of that comes from God. True religion. Verse 5 here, it says, talking about this present world, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And Paul says, from such turn away. We've got to turn away from all of this worldliness, from fake religion that's not based on the truth, that's not based on the Bible. There's so many scholarly works out there about the Bible telling you this is why the Bible teaches just take the Trinity for as one example, even though it's not in the Bible, but here's why we believe it. Why not just go to the Bible itself? We had a Life and Teachings podcast recently. Blow the dust off of your Bible. I think that might have played over the weekend. That's a new podcast, by the way. Plays every Sunday morning on a few TV stations, not nearly as much as the Key of David, but both of them you can get on TV or at the website, thetrumpet.com. And I mean, the Life and Teachings of Christ is exactly that. The goal of that book, or rather that program, is to just bring you what Jesus says in the book. And then, of course, there's other pieces of literature that we make available, but, you know, it's not some long encyclopedia-like effort. To tell you what you read in your own Bible actually doesn't mean that. That's the beauty of Mystery of the Ages. It helps you understand the Bible. And it's a fairly easy read. Anyone can understand it. And if your attitude's right, you can begin to understand the Bible, which is plain and straightforward. And there's power. In the world, you have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of God, the authority that's behind it, the fact that His word is final, that His word is sure, that His prophecy, it's certain. And you can stake your life on it. And many of God's true and faithful servants did exactly that. That's been the history. We've got another booklet, The True History of God's True Church, to just help for you to understand and know what God's people have faced for 2,000 years, the amount of resistance and persecution that they've had to face. Because the God of this world, Satan the devil, hates true religion. He hates followers of Christ. He hates the truth of God. But in the end, as we know, I mean, the truth will set us free. The truth will prevail. That's all we have time for on today's show, the fastest moving hour in broadcasting. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We thank you for joining us on today's show, and we'll see you again tomorrow.